This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But everything else costs more. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system that brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR onto one platform. It reduces IT costs, and over 37,000 companies have already made the move. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I was walking over to my side of the man cave, and I overhear Seton O'Connor say to the other Danettes, "You think Steve Kerr's overrated?" And I went, "Wow. That's a bombshell." Yeah, Seton.
Oh, I think I said, "Do you think Steve Kerr is overrated or underrated?"
Oh, I didn't hear the under.
Yeah. I said overrated or underrated, okay, if you had to pick one.
Oh, okay.
That's maybe a poll question.
All right. Is Steve Kerr underrated or overrated? Did you know that he's missed a couple of games coaching? Like, what other sport can you miss a playoff game as a coach or a manager? And you go, "Eh, no big deal. It'll be good." Mike Brown, the interim head coach. But Steve Kerr? Steve Kerr's going to the Hall of Fame. Now, you might say he inherited a pretty good roster. No, you can say he inherited a pretty good roster. You got Steph Curry, you got Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Although at the time when he got those players, we didn't know that they were going to turn out to be Hall of Famers. I think there was still a question mark with Steph Curry, with his ankle. Is he going to be able to withstand the rigors of the NBA? But Steve Kerr has done pretty well taking over Mark Jackson's team. Yes, Seton.
Some people call that being born on third.
Born on third.
I don't know if that's fair, but...
But he did well on
did
third.
Well. Yes, he's done very well on third.
Okay. Yes, Paul.
Steve Kerr showed up with the Warriors in 2015. I think that was his first ever coaching job, right? He was a GM?
With the Phoenix Suns.
So his first ever coaching job was Curry, Durant, Curry and those guys. He was 67-15 his first year.
Okay.
73 wins the next year.
Okay. It's not supposed to be that easy, but he was also an assistant coach with Greg Popovich for quite a few years. He also was with Michael Jordan with the Bulls. How many championships does he have? How many titles was he a part of as a player, assistant coach, and a head coach? Yes, Todd?
I know five as a player, three as a coach. Dude, that's eight right there already.
How many as an assistant coach? I'm going to guess he won a couple with the San Antonio Spurs. So he's decorated. Is he overrated or underrated? Yeah, Paul.
You could say he's very good at keeping the drama down out there. It seems like he keeps things cool, supports his players to the hilt.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of managing a team, not coaching a team.
Well, I also think you learn from Popovich and Phil Jackson on how to handle stars. And Phil, I mean, you could look at Phil and go, he's pretty lucky. He lucked into the Bulls, you know, when they fired Doug Collins, and all of a sudden you inherit Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. That's pretty good. And then he handpicked the Lakers. It's like Shaq and Kobe. I think I can make those guys champions. Yeah, Seton.
it's a great point about being able to keep drama down, because just bringing in a player like Kevin Durant and then having him leave right away, the amount of drama that really must have been going on there, and it really only kind of simmered. It never really boiled.
Yeah, I think we're starting to hear dribs and drabs of what exactly was going on at the time, and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and, you know, they recruited him to come and play with them, and then he leaves, and then there's a little bit of bad blood there. But is Steve Kerr underrated or overrated? I guess I'm going to say he's underrated with his ability to tap into the talent that he had and make them even better offensively. Because defensively, people always underestimated the Golden State Warriors defensively. They were a good defensive team. I don't know where they rank now, but with Klay and Draymond, those are really good defenders. Mark Jackson emphasized defense with that team. Steve Kerr came in and said, we're going to emphasize offense, and really changed the sport. Steph Curry changed the sport, but Steve Kerr realized what he had. And I remember talking to Steve Kerr. I said, when did you give Steph the green light? And he talked about, you know, there was a moment where you just go, he's making those shots. It's one thing to take those shots. It's another thing where you go, no, he's going to make them. As a head coach, you probably are not going, that's part of our game plan. That's who we are. That's how we're going to play. But Steve Kerr, who was a great outside shooter, had to embrace that at some point and just say, that's what coaches are, control freaks. You know, Pat Riley famously would coach every single possession. Mike Fratello, every single possession. They would just drain the joy out of the game. And it got to the point where some of these coaches had to allow their talent to just showcase their talent. And I think that's what Steve Kerr is probably going to be remembered for, that he won. He knew how to win. He knew how to blend in. He played a great role with Jordan's Bulls as an assistant coach. GM-wise, I don't think he was decorated. He got fined because of one thing he said on this show when he was GM of the Phoenix Suns, having to do with LeBron James. But what he's done now, because I think you forget that they go to the finals. I mean, how many times have they gone to the finals with Steve Kerr? And they're favored to go to the finals this year, facing the Dallas Mavericks. But I would say he's probably a little underrated, because this, you know, we talk about Golden State and we talk about the stars. It's almost like Phil Jackson got credit, but I think that was difficult to get that credit because Michael was so omnipresent. And it was like, yeah, this is Michael Jordan coached by Phil Jackson. And then even going to the Lakers, when you have that marquee talent, sometimes you get lost in the mix there. When you have the plucky underdog team, then we talk about the coach. Wow, they went 41-41 this year. What an unbelievable job by that coach. But if you win 73 games, we tend to talk about the talent. Yeah, Paul.
Here's Steve Kerr's playing career. He's known as a clutch shooter. Didn't start a lot of games, so it's totally mostly a bench player.
Is somebody known as a non-clutch player, do they ever label them that?
There's a guy on his team who was known as a not-clutch player. He, in his last seven seasons in the league, Steve Kerr won seven titles without starting one game in the regular season or playoffs. He also left the Bulls when the Bulls broke up, jumped over to the Spurs, got a title, and then his last season in the pros before he retired, he got one more title with the Spurs. He ended perfectly. But his shooting percentage in the playoffs, he's like 45% from three.
Yeah, but how many of those are contested? If you have Michael Jordan on your team, odds are you're probably going to get an open look. Just saying. But he won two as a role player with the Spurs?
Yeah.
And then was he on Popovich's coaching staff after that?
Checking.
Okay.
I just see him with the USA basketball with Popovich, like 2017 to 2021.
I thought he was an assistant coach. And I remember when he was going to coach the Knicks, and he turned down Phil Jackson. I went, wow, he turned down the Knicks to coach the Warriors. He turned down Phil Jackson. Talk about a great decision. I mean, you can say, hey, you kind of ended up on third base with the Warriors, but he was smart enough to say no to Phil Jackson. Welcome to the program. As you can tell, already in progress. We have basketball coming up tonight. Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics at the Heat. Heat with a slight favorite going into this game. The Lightning and Panthers, Blues and Avalanche with Stanley Cup playoff action Tiger's good to go for the PGA. I was watching the coverage yesterday on Golf Channel. And normally, when you're watching the the analyst looking at somebody, analyzing, they're going to analyze their swing. You know, maybe they're putting, but their swing. They were analyzing Tiger walking. Yeah, he looks good. Hey, he looks a lot more comfortable. Not as measured as he was at Augusta. I don't know what that means. Tiger looked good, you know. But the question is, the heat is going to be an issue in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But he is walking better. And I think that was the big issue. It wasn't his swing. I think he got tired. I think he got tired the last 2 days at Augusta. And, those scores showed it. But that's a tough course to walk. This will have the heat as well. And I think that'll be interesting to see Tiger and the durability if he's able to keep that up for four rounds. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Our stats of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the DP Show. Make sure you go to danpatrick.com. Penny's Bang Biscuits there. We're really proud of these. Bite-sized treats. Perfect rewards during your training sessions or anytime you want to give your little puppy a treat for good behavior. Handmade from scratch using healthy, all-natural ingredients and 20% of all Bang Biscuit sales given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry. Say good morning. Good morning to those watching on Peacock. It's our streaming partner. And we also have Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, nearly 400 cities around America, the most listened to sports talk show in America. Reggie Miller a little later on. Mike Florio on the curious meeting between the NFL and Deshaun Watson this week. Don't know if it's an investigation, a meeting, introductory chat here, but we'll talk to Florio about that. Also, if the Broncos are going to be worth $4.5 billion, what are the Dallas Cowboys worth? 10? We'll talk to Florio about some of these items here. The Broncos still up for sale. Seton, you got a poll question for me.
Do we want to?
Oh, you're going to go. How about?
I'm just asking because I don't want to be insulting. I don't mean to insult someone who's been a very good friend of the show, but it's kind of a fun topic.
So is Steve Kerr underrated or overrated?
We could do that. We could do, here's another one.
Okay.
This is, again, it's not meant to be insulting to anyone.
No, that means it's from Pauly and it's meant to be insulting.
I don't think it is from Pauly.
Okay.
Who's had a luckier coaching career?
Luckier?
Steve Kerr, Phil Jackson.
Okay, that's you.
Don't pin this on me. I'm proud of you.
I'm just saying, there's a real skill or an art to being in the right place at the right time.
You know, you can be a really good coach, but if you don't have the players, it doesn't matter. Having had Jerry Krause in Chicago and Jerry West in Los Angeles, boy, that can really help a coach out. And give credit to the Golden State Warriors. They draft, aside from James Wiseman, they draft really good players. I mean, Klay Thompson was not a household name at Washington State. Draymond Green was a curiosity at Michigan State. Steph Curry was undersized, and who's he going to guard in the NBA? Well, that all worked out. I got to give credit to the front office for doing some heavy lifting there as well. Yes, Eden.
Okay, how about this?
No.
This one is not for me. Sports where the head coach/manager is least necessary on game day. The three options that were presented are baseball, basketball, and football.
All right.
I think I know which one's going to finish last in that, but
football, you got to have your coach there on game day.
Feels like these most necessary.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Okay. Now, over the past 2 years, we've seen a lot of coaches out, mostly due to COVID, but we've seen actual games. In the NFL, let's say the coach is not calling the plays. What is the head coach doing if he's not calling the plays during an NFL game? I'm sure he's doing things, but I'm guessing they could miss him for a day.
Well, I think you're sort of bringing in information from your different coaches there. And I think if somebody says something like, hey, we're going to do this, or this is the approach, you know, Belichick famously changes his game plan during a game. He changes quarter to quarter, half to half. I don't know how many coaches do that. I know Belichick probably gets too much credit there. You know, he takes away your biggest weapon, Yep, he's the only coach who's ever thought of this. Don't they ever say to somebody, like, hey, you took away their best weapon? It's always, you know what Belichick does? He takes away your best weapon. Do you think any other coaches go, we'd do the same damn thing? Yes, Todd.
Yeah, it's like you would think, maybe we should double-team that guy in basketball. He seems to be scoring 40, 50 points
a game. Well, no, I rail against that. There are times when I go, they're going to let this guy take the game-winning shot. And then he makes the game-winning shot. And then afterwards, people go, oh, my God, how'd you let him take the game-winning shot? Yeah, Paul.
But a football coach doesn't really handle the substitutions. The substitutions are based off pre-scheduled plays and packages. So he's not like, man, should I put in Johnson? Smith is really cold. Basketball coaches have to make decisions about players going in and out. Those are made-up names.
Thank you.
Should I put in Johnson? Mm-hmm.
Smith is cold.
Yeah.
That was a dramatic license.
Yeah, but Steve Kerr missed a couple of games. I didn't hear anybody say anything.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, it's like,
very fair point.
Yeah, Steve Kerr didn't coach.
Which is the whole jumping-off point for this topic.
Yes.
Is
Steve Kerr overrated or underrated?
And people think baseball managers are just there to go, hum, babe.
Little bingo, babe.
Yep, we'll stick.
Well, no, they do have to overmanage. Like, managers overmanage. I'm not sure how many coaches overcoach in today's game, whereas you know a baseball manager is going to go, going to have to make a call to the bullpen. And then somebody comes in and faces one batter, and you go, yep, I'm going to have to go to the bullpen again.
Let me go argue this one. I'm going to get thrown out for the boys.
Yeah,
I don't know that the and plus, was it Joe Girardi who has the book? Doesn't he have, like, a big binder? I think it was Joe Girardi. He would, like, have a big binder, and it had, like, every scenario you could possibly go to. And he would, let's go to the binder and see what we're supposed to do here when there's, you know, two men on, two out in the seventh, and we got a lefty facing a righty.
If Johnson gives it up, bring in Smith.
Right.
Yes, Todd.
And what's the hockey coach doing? Once the lines are established, after this number of minutes, the line two comes out. This guy's come out, and the line three comes out. What are you doing during the, go get the puck. There's the puck. Go get it.
Well,
get in the net. Get in the net. Oh, you missed it. Get in the net.
Thank you, Todd. Get in the net.
Check him. Check. Hit him. Hit him the boards.
Yes, Paul.
It's a fair point. I would assume in hockey, I don't know what like hockey people do, that the line changes are somewhat scheduled by time. And that you're like, hey, line two, take a break. You guys done enough work. They're going to go line three, and they're all like whole surprised that they're
going
in.
You got to make the decision to pull the goalie. Do they pull the goalie? You got to pull the goalie. Pull the goalie. No, they're not going to pull the goalie. Yes, he.
There are hockey fans right now listening to this whose minds are exploding.
So upset.
They are like, oh, my God, you guys know nothing. You guys know nothing about this sport.
Finally talking about hockey, and this is what you're going to say?
Yeah, hit it in the net.
Direct your criticism to Fritzy.
Go get the puck. Here's the puck.
Get the puck. Put it in the net. Check him.
He went over the blue line there.
Icing.
Icing. Why do you keep hitting it all the way down the other end? Icing. Great.
Let's take a break. We came out of the gate on fire. We crushed that segment. Take a break. Phone call, settle on a poll question. Florio a little bit later on. Reggie Miller a little bit later on. You got Celtics at the Heat. Talking about the Heat. Game one tonight. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's a week away from the Sports Emmys.
Oh, next. Dang, really?
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Whoa.
Next Tuesday, we'll be getting ready for our speech when we win. And I thought, okay, I don't know how much time you get when you get up there, and I don't want to get up there and talk, so I said to the Danettes that you guys can give a speech, but we're probably going to get 60 seconds, and I just thought if everybody talks at the same time, that might be funny. So all of a sudden, and the winner is the Dan Patrick Show. Here to accept the award, Dan Patrick, Todd Fritz, Seton O'Connor, Small Hand Marvin, Prince, and Paulie Pabst. And then I would say, all right, guys, here is our acceptance speech.
It's about time.
First of all, I just want to thank you, Dan, for giving us this opportunity.
Waiting way too long.
To get me out of
all the great people over the last 15 years.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening, everybody.
Screw that.
And I can guarantee, Fritzy will want to say something. You'll try to have a joke. You'll do something at the very end. You will have the last word.
Which can go very well or extremely poorly.
No, it's not going to go well.
Which I'm used to on stage.
Mike Florio joins us, Pro Football Talk, live co-host, and that book, Playmakers. If you don't have it, What's Wrong With You? Available online wherever books are sold. He pulls back the curtain on the NFL. Mike, good to talk to you. How are you?
Dan, I'm doing great. How are you?
As you can tell, we're preparing for our speech. Will we see you next week at the Sports Emmys?
No.
Okay.
I don't go anywhere anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, it'd be nice to have some support there.
Oh, I'll support you from afar.
Okay.
All the best.
I'm trying.
Hopefully, Fritzy will show up with a limerick.
Oh my God, Mike.
Yeah, we go.
Oh no.
Thank you, Mike. Door has been opened.
Todd, he was kidding.
Oh, he was.
he was telling you were kidding.
I was kidding. I'm kidding, Todd.
Darn it.
Todd.
That means he doesn't want you to show up with a limerick, Todd.
Todd.
I didn't pick up on that. I thought he was encouraging me to write a limerick.
You can write a limerick.
Thanks.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm on it.
You can write a limerick. All right, Mike, help me understand here. The NFL declines comments on the report of a meeting with Deshaun Watson. Okay, tell me what is supposed to be, could be happening in this meeting between the two.
Well, this seems to be the traditional meeting that the NFL would engage in, interviewing, fact-finding, questioning, challenging, getting to the bottom of the allegations pending against Deshaun Watson. The league's habit, Dan, is to wait until the end of the process to meet with the person who is accused of wrongdoing. I don't think they have to do that. They could meet with him multiple times if they want to. And sometimes it's smart. You meet with the accused, you find out some facts, you go back to the accusers, you flesh things out, you meet with the accused again. The idea of putting all the eggs in one basket and waiting to the end, I don't know that I agree with, but that's what the NFL does. And it tells me that at some point, a decision is coming. And when you look at the timeline, the next few months are going to go quickly. We're going to be in training camp in 2 months. The regular season opener is 17 weeks away. It's time for the NFL to make some decisions. They like to delay making a decision as long as they possibly can. But you got the Browns trying to get people to buy single game tickets. I'd like to know, before I give you my credit card information, Cleveland Browns, who the quarterback is going to be. And at some point, the NFL just needs to make a decision. And when you consider the procedure they have in place now, it's going to take some time. And if they want to get this all buttoned up before week one, it's time to start making some decisions about what they're going to do about Deshaun Watson for 2022. And this meeting tells me the next step, maybe Friday, Memorial Day weekend, a little bad news dump in the afternoon coming up in about 10 days. Maybe that's when we find out what the league is planning to do.
Can Deshaun Watson and his lawyers say we're not going to cooperate?
Well, they can, but it's not going to go well for him. He's required to cooperate. There's no Fifth Amendment protection. And if he chooses not to cooperate, they'll go ahead and make their decision and they'll use his refusal to cooperate against him. It would be along the same lines of the Tom Brady destroyed cell phone from 7 years ago. It would definitely enhance the penalties if he says, I'm not talking to you.
Now, you pointed out by saying the league is not required to wait until the 22 cases are resolved before they suspend Deshaun Watson. Your guess is the league will suspend him now with the possibility of suspending him again later. Why do you feel that way?
That's a guess because it allows them to deal with the facts as they currently understand them to be. And this is a guy who's accused by 22 different people of wrongdoing. This isn't one or two. This is 22. At some point between one and 22, the standard, well, you know, we need to hear both sides of this. Well, it could be somebody who's out to get some. At 22, I don't know where the number is, but at 22, you're on the wrong side of the number where you've reached a critical mass, where there's just too many people to dismiss it as a conspiracy or a money grab or whatever. 22 is too many. So they could say, just based on what we already know, just based on the lifestyle you've admitted to, finding these massages via social media, his lawyer, Rusty Harden, has admitted that some of those massages would become consensual sexual encounters. Those habits are enough that it requires intervention. It requires a suspension. So we're going to do a suspension for now, and we're going to monitor these cases. And depending upon how they turn out, we may suspend you again later. That would be, I think, a safe balance for the NFL. You take some action now, and then you wait and see what happens with the cases, and maybe you take action later.
Can the NFL talk to Stephen Ross and the Dolphins? Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't they sort of have a negotiation that they were going to trade for Watson, but he could only settle 18 of the 22 cases? Is that right?
They were going to trade for Watson if he settled all of the cases, and 18 of them were ready to go. There were four holdouts, and Watson decided, if I can't settle them all, I'm not settling any. And I think that was a bad decision in hindsight. I think if you take 18 of these cases off the table, it's a lot more manageable if you only have four, even if they are the four strongest claims. And I don't know which four were the holdouts, but take away the 18, four or left. The Dolphins believed that if Deshaun Watson had settled all 22 and the trade had happened, he would have been suspended six games. I don't know why they believe it. The league is very good about keeping cards close to the vest, but the Dolphins believed he was looking at a six-game suspension if he settled all 22. And I don't know why the Dolphins think that, again. But, you know, the league can talk to whoever they want to talk to try to get to the bottom of this and come up with the best punishment. But I think that that the Dolphins were just making their decisions based upon whatever they managed to get from the league office.
Any chance Deshaun Watson is not suspended at some point?
Well, the only way that would happen is if the NFL decides to do nothing now, let the 22 cases play out, he wins 22 different trials, which, good luck with that. Dan, I tried more cases than I care to remember. Because if you try cases for a living, you know, we see in TVs and movies, oh, he's never lost a case. Oh, never lost a case. You know what? If you never lost a case, you never tried a case, or you tried only one and you got lucky. Because by the time a case goes to trial, it is a complete and total crapshoot. Flip of the coin. So many factors are out of your control. You're going to try 22 of these cases. You're going to win 22. Good freaking luck with that. But let's assume that happens. They decide to wait. He wins all 22 coin flips. And then they say, what are we suspending him for? He's not responsible for any violations of anyone's rights. That would be the only way that he's not suspended at all.
He's Mike Florio. His best-selling book, Playmakers, available online wherever books are sold. As a lawyer, what did you think of Joe Pesci's performance in My Cousin Vinny?
Oh, that was awesome. Hey, Dan, listen. I would, when I was getting ready to try a case, I would watch My Cousin Vinny and A Few Good Men, because of all the movies and TV shows I've ever seen over the years, those were the two that were the most realistic. My Cousin Vinny is uncannily accurate.
What?
As to how, yes, I mean, you don't have a lawyer that over the top, but the procedural aspects of it, the way that it unfolded, was very accurate. Very accurate. Whoever wrote that script either was a lawyer or knew a lawyer very well.
Yeah.
But I would always try to strike that balance, because at the end of the day, you're trying to, just like you do every day, like I try to do every morning on PFT Live, you got to keep the jury entertained. They expect to be entertained. They fall asleep quickly. And between A Few Good Men and My Cousin Vinny, I would find the inspiration to go in and hopefully keep the jury awake at least until the end of the opening statements.
Did you ever?
Sometimes I was successful.
Did you ever yell, objection?
I did once say everything that guy said is bull.
Oh.
Stuff. No, I never said that.
Oh.
You gotta entertain them. They expect you, think about it. You're a member of a jury and you've heard all this stuff over the years. You've seen all these shows and movies. You expect to be entertained. So it's a high bar, and you gotta come up with some ways to keep their attention.
Were you ever held in contempt?
I was not.
No.
I was not. I don't think I was ever even close. I got chastised a few times. Because when you're in trial, especially if you practice alone, you're sleeping like 4 hours a night during trial. I mean, it is all encompassing. It is stressful. And so sometimes you give into that stress a little bit. And I pissed a few judges off in my time.
All right. Tell me what's going on with Drew Brees and NBC, since you work with him on Football Night in America, Mike.
Hey, Dan, they only wake me up for the unimportant meetings. I don't know anything. I do know this, though. Yeah. I do know this. Yeah. I have no reason to doubt the reporting from Andrew Marchand of the New York Post when he says the relationship is over. And when Drew Brees tweets that it's speculation, Drew, it's not speculation. It's a report. And I suspect he's frustrated that he didn't get to control his narrative. So he came out with this tweet that suggests he could do all sorts of different things. I don't think he's joking. I think he can do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to play football, he could play right now. There's teams that I would look at their depth chart and say he would be the best option if he walked through the door right now. Seattle, Carolina, Miami. Sorry to Anon, but if he really wanted to do it, yeah. And if he wants to play pickleball professionally, yeah, he could probably do it. If he wants to be on the senior PGA Tour, I mean, he's 7 years too young, but he'd have 7 years to get ready and he'd probably be good enough to do it. So I have no reason to think that Andrew Marchand's report is inaccurate, but I also would be surprised if he comes back and plays football.
The thing that I brought up yesterday, and I went back and listened to an interview I did with him in November of 2021, and he talked about that excitement when you go to a stadium to be an analyst, as opposed to a sterile environment in Stamford, Connecticut, where you're around you and Peter King and, yeah, and Chris. No offense.
That's not a selling point.
He's used to being out there hearing the crowd, whether they're yelling at him or for him. And I think that's what he truly misses. He needs that. He feeds off of that. I don't think he's going to play again, but I do think he looks around and goes, I don't want to be a studio guy. And if I'm going to make money, I got to make money as an analyst, because that's where everybody's making all their money. What do you think of that logic?
I think you're right. It's a different world when you're in studio. Remember when we were in 30 Rock and there were no windows, there was no natural light, there was no fresh air, there were no clocks. It was like being trapped in a casino somewhere. You had no idea whether it was day or night. It was just a weird, suffocating, claustrophobic environment. So different than being in an open air stadium with all those people there, the environment you're used to for 25 years of your life between college and pros. Yeah, I don't think it's a secret that he wants to do games. There's no games at NBC for him to do. So he's going to have to look elsewhere. And that's why, you know, Fox, the musical chairs, they're still not full yet. There's still a spot in the second or third slot there. And if that's what he wants to do, that seems to be what he's destined to do.
So you think Dan Orlovsky then will replace Drew Brees at NBC?
Oh, I don't. Hey, Dan, again, they don't tell me anything.
I love your reaction.
I don't know. They don't tell me.
But you're
anything.
A reporter. You have to find this out.
Okay, I'm on it.
Now you're on it.
It's a delicate situation, as you might imagine. Thank you. Thank you for shying away from a delicate information. Could I close with a limerick?
Yeah, of course. You have one?
I had one the other day for Fritzy. I didn't hear. I thought I'd get a text from him. I thought I had a Seton liked it. I had a good limerick for Fritzy. I can't remember what it is now.
Wait, you wrote it and sent it to Fritzy?
I wrote it and tweeted it to Fritzy.
I don't think I saw that. I totally would have responded. I'd never blow off Mike. He gets back to me immediately when we invite him on the show.
I didn't text it to you. I thought you'd see it on Twitter. Seton liked it. Seton enjoyed it, I think.
Seton?
Yeah, I kind of remember something about that.
Wow.
Oh, it was a few days ago. Wow, it really made an impression.
It might have been a courtesy like, all right, wow. Look, I like that Mike is involved. But
wow. Okay, I know where I stand. That's all right.
It feels.
I'll go back to the lab.
Go ears.
Feels like.
How about Fritzy? I'll write your limericks. I'll send you 10 limericks that you can use from the podium when you guys win next week.
I would love that.
All right, good.
He doesn't use other people's work. That's the problem, Mike. Yeah. No matter how good
problem.
It is.
That's definitely the problem.
Well, I said to Sandler, and David Spade, would you write some material for Fritzy when he does stand-up? And they said, absolutely. And I said to Fritzy, hey, good news. Sandler and Spade will write some of your material. He goes, I'd rather they didn't. And I go, are you kidding me? So he'd rather go down in flames with his material than to get props for your material.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. There's a pride in authorship, even if there's no pride in your authorship. Ultimately, you want to be the one responsible for the laughs or the lack thereof. I get that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I still hold to my theory that the Browns hold on to Baker Mayfield, because if Deshaun Watson is suspended for 6 games, 8 games, Baker gets to come in. They try to make nice with him to say, here, you're able to play for your next job. Do your best. Go out there. Prove you can play, and we'll send you, you know, someplace during the season.
That's the right play. That is the right play, but they have a lot of damage to undo, and it's their own damn fault for how they handled the guy. But he, in his mind, that bridge is obliterated. The Browns have to rebuild that bridge. I mean, if they would make him a promise that they'll trade him by the trade deadline, if it's less than a 8-game suspension, or we won't use the franchise tag next year if you go out and have a great season and we think we can try to trade you next year. Something to induce him back into the family, because Dan, Seattle, Carolina, Cleveland, if those are ultimately his three options, Cleveland's the best place where he could have the kind of season that sets the table for the contract he wants to get next year.
Seton,
without question.
Do you have Florio's limerick?
I do.
All right.
I do.
All right.
It says, there once was a man named Fritz who wanted to give his friend fits. He wrote up some jokes, shared them with his blokes, and someday they'll laugh till they... expletive.
Oh.
Yeah, a little blue limerick. I like
that. Wow. Blue. Yeah, Paulie.
So they're supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Hey, Paulie.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
See, on our show, I could say the word. We said it 3 times today because we're not FCC regulated anymore.
Sims swears all the time, doesn't he?
Not all the time. Well, all the time off air, yes. On air, it's creeping in more and more. And we've got this test going. Like, we keep dropping S and F bombs until somebody says something and nobody said anything, which I guess means nobody's watching.
Well, that was our approach on SportsCenter when I was with Oberman. We thought, let's just say whatever we want to say and see if we hear from management. And when we didn't hear from management, we just figured they weren't up at 11 o'clock at night, you know, which was like fun, but kind of scary that management wasn't even listening to us. The book is Playmakers. Pick it up. You'll love it. And a great Father's Day gift as well. Mike, thank you as always, and keep those limericks to yourself.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. That's Mike Florio.
See you guys. Yeah.
What did you think of that, Fritzy? I thought Florio did a pretty good job.
I actually liked it a lot. I liked that there was a little
little humor in there.
A little blue limerick at the end with the curse word.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Pirelli tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Pirelli test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? And not a website, but a person, an actual person in your community. That would also do it for free. There is that scenario. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge you. Everything is free. No fee for you to find a job. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest to you, or download the Express Jobs app to get started. Wide range of opportunities, variety of industries, welding, sales, forklift operator, customer service. The team at Express is ready to help you or somebody you know find their next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job or maybe a full-time role, a new one, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express can be as easy as a phone call, or one application with Express Employment will put you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go into your job search alone. Visit ExpressPros.com. ExpressPros.com. Reggie Miller called Game 7 between the Mavs and the Suns. He will be back at it tomorrow. It'll be Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals between the Mavericks and the Warriors. And always great to see the Hall of Famer. Reg, it was back in December, I think, where you were talking about Luka plotting and saying he was probably the heaviest he's ever been on the court. Luka has since come back around to say, you know what? Basically, you were right. Did Luka ever say anything to you since then in between those comments and these comments kind of saying, yeah, you were right?
He didn't per se say thank you. He gave me a dap and shook his head and said, I understood. More so, Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd said, thank you. Because it's almost, and you know this very well as a parent, you can say everything you want to your kids and it goes in one ear and out the other. But when they hear it from somewhere else and it's the same message, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. So he understood and he knew. And Jason Kidd had been kind of verbalizing to him, you've got the kingdom at your feet, young man, but you've got to get in better shape and you've got to stay off the officials. And he took both of those advices coming from Kevin Harlan and myself and obviously from Jason Kidd. And this is where we are now.
Luka was around 260 pounds, which is 30 more than his listed playing weight. He said, people are going to talk about it, yes or no, but I know I've got to do better. I had a long summer. I think I relaxed a little bit, not taking care, but I've got to be better. I had the Olympics, took 3 weeks off. I relaxed a little bit, maybe too much. I just got back on track. And I remember when you tweeted, or you said it, and I text you. And I said, those are strong comments. And you said, I think, was I fair? And I said, yes, because you're assessing what you're seeing, that Luka was not the same player. You weren't making fun as much as you were being an analyst in that situation. And I was curious if people were going to say, oh, are you fat shaming Luka in a situation?
And some did. Yeah, obviously some people did. But again, and that's the beauty of what you and I do, and especially for myself, you know, having been on Turner and TNT for the last 15 plus year, they give us a platform for us to be honest. And I know how great Luka can and will be in the future. And at the start of the season, he wasn't at his best. And for all the reasons that you just highlighted, words out of Luka's mouth, he understood it was a long and tough summer for him too. For them to qualify for the Olympics, it was very difficult. And I understand why he took 3 weeks to a month off. First of all, I would like to know where he was partying for 3 or 4 weeks for him to pick up 30 pounds, because that's the kind of party I want to go to with you, Luka. I want to be hanging out with you. But he understood, to be at this level in the NBA, he had to be better. He had to be lighter. And again, we weren't fat shaming, because when he is at his best, which we have seen in these playoffs, no one can touch him. And it's funny, every time we would speak with Jason Kidd before the games, he keeps going back to, he's LeBron. He's LeBron. He's too big. He's too physical. They have no answer for him. And he's showing that, because of when he's in shape and his size, being able to get wherever he wants on the floor, Dan.
Help me understand this. I brought this up earlier, that we look at the best point guards of all time. You know, we'll have Chris Paul in there and Isaiah, and you have Magic and John Stockton and Steve Nash, whoever's on your list. They're all short guys except for Magic.
Right.
Why isn't LeBron in there as the second best point guard of all time? Where is Luka? He's a point guard. Why aren't they designated point guards here?
I think we're past that stage now in today's game because it's positionless basketball now. When you and I were coming up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, there was, you know, point guards, shooting guards, small forwards, power forwards, centers. Everything now is gumbo. Everything is all mixed together. And Luka handles the basketball 85-90% of the time. Same with LeBron. And you look at LeBron's numbers, he has point guard numbers in terms of assists. I mean, he's up there with the point guard. So you're right. LeBron, Luka, at the end of the day, will have the same type of numbers as a top 7-8 point guard. But you look at their body size being 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", at times for Magic. People kind of scratch their heads because the whole notion of point guards goes back to Bob Cousy at 6 feet. You know, people think of Bob Cousy as the ultimate point guard, and John Stockton and Isaiah, but that's no longer in today's game.
How do you explain what happened to the Phoenix Suns on Sunday night? And when did you realize they were going to be in trouble?
Every timeout, Kevin Harlan and myself, we would look at one another like, can you believe this is – like, we were in shock. And when Luka set the tone early, scored the first eight, with two of them being two step-back threes, I knew something magical was going to happen that night. We thought it was going to be the reverse. We thought, oh, Phoenix, they're going to put these kids to bed. They're tired of this. And they were not two. They were really three steps behind the Dallas Mavericks. But I'm going to give credit to Jason Kidd and his coaching staff. Very well prepared all series. But to me, Luka set the tone in game seven. And that's what your best player has to do, because he has to give belief and hope to the rest of the guys, like, okay, jump on my shoulders. It's going to be okay. When he set the tone with those first eight, everyone fell in line in formation, and it was downhill for the Suns after that.
I don't know if you ever felt this. I'm sure that you made other people feel this, but when Luka hit the corner jumper and the net had a zing to it, like it wasn't he just made it or kind of made it. It was whenever I would play against somebody and they made a shot, it was how they made the shot that sometimes stayed with me, where you're going, oh, damn, they're on tonight. And when Luka made that shot from the corner, I think the second three that he made, I went, uh-oh, they're in trouble. Because he was feeling it and letting the crowd know, hey, you better buckle up. We're in for a long ride tonight.
When he was knocking down those shots, it was in front of Larry Fitzgerald, Travis Kelce. You know, it was Celebrity Row that was right there, and he was just giving it to them. Not to them per se, but to that general area. And every time he made a shot, it was like a gasp was in the air. So they knew, the Phoenix Suns team knew, that he was coming for business. And sometimes when your best player, he just let the air out of that whole building, and it gave confidence and life to the others on that Mavs team. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie was a no-show the first five games. In game six and seven, he found his stroke. And that's because of the belief that they all have in Luka.
Do you think the window of opportunity for the Suns is closed?
I don't think it's closed. You don't win 64 games by accident. I think they have some decisions to make this summer. Number one being DeAndre Ayton, which, you know, for him to only play 17 minutes in game seven, and then for Monty to get on the podium afterwards and when asked that question, why did he only play 17 minutes? His only response was it's internal. Something obviously and clearly was going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to. But again,
oh, you didn't see anything on the sidelines between those two?
No, no. And that's the way they've always run their organization. You're not going to see anyone get out of character. Whatever happens with the Phoenix Suns is going to happen behind closed doors. But it was a little surprising because coming into this series, we felt and everyone felt that Ayton had to be the difference maker because he was so dominant all season. He was dominant in that first round matchup versus the Pelicans. And you would think he would have the advantage because basically they were playing five small guys with, you know, Bertans and Maxi Kleber being the tallest guys for the Mavericks at 6'9". He should have the clear-cut advantage. And after that 25-point first game, you didn't hear from DeAndre Ayton. So it was a little head-scratching, but they have some decisions to make.
Talking to Reggie Miller. Reggie will be on the call. Game 1 Western Conference Finals, Mavs and the Warriors. That'll be tomorrow night. Game 1 tonight, Heat and the Celtics. Who do you like?
Wow. I really feel this is a pick'em series. I can make a case for both sides. You look at Boston, what they've done in the first two rounds, and I know it was a sweep of Brooklyn, but those were four very hard-fought games versus the Nets. And then to defeat the defending champs in seven, having won twice in their building, it says a lot for Boston. My question going forward, do they have enough? And every possession is going to mean something in this Boston-Miami series because both teams are fabulous defensively. And no one is talking about how great Jimmy Butler has been for the Miami Heat in these playoffs. You know, everyone's talking about Luka, and rightfully so, and Jason Tatum, rightfully so. You could put Jimmy Butler's name in there as well because he's been that good. If you're asking me to make a pick, I'm going to roll with what my son told me this morning when I posed him the same question that you just asked me. Who do you like? He's like, Dad, I'm rolling with Uncle Jimmy in Miami Heat. I think no one's giving Miami Heat a lot of love. And I know Tyler Hero's been disappointing in these playoffs, but I just think something special is brewing in South Beach. I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler in Miami in a very tough seven-game series.
See, I think that Tyler Hero is the key to the Miami Heat because if he's averaging over 20 a game, everybody else does what they're supposed to do, then I think Miami can win this. If Tyler Hero continues to give you 6, 8, 10 points off the bench, I just don't think you can match the firepower there.
I agree with you 100%, and he's got to show up. Another big X factor will be Gabe Vincent. Obviously, he gets the start tonight. No Kyle Lowry. We don't know if Lowry would be back at all in the series. You hope he would be. But Gabe Vincent is going to have to play above his means for the Heat to be successful.
You were mentioning the celebrities at the Phoenix Suns game. Aside from New York with your interaction with Spike Lee, what celebrity on what team you noticed or you had interaction with around the league?
Interaction with? I would say it was always cool to play the Lakers and obviously shake hands with Jack because he was the Spike Lee of the Lakers. And at the time in the late 80s and 90s, it was, you know, Jack Nicholson, the actor, the Academy Award winning actor. So it was kind of cool for him to just acknowledge your play.
Did he say anything negative to you? Did he try to get under your skin?
No. The only person that ever tried to do that was you know who from New York. Everyone else, for the most part, celebrity-wise, because I had already set the precedent in the bar high. If you're going to talk to me, you're going to be a part of the game. So they all knew what I did to Spike. So they were celebrities were always somewhat on. They were on notice that I could go off and I was going to make them a part of the dialogue. So they were pretty cool with that.
Did you ever think about fighting Spike Lee?
No, it was never going to come to
that. What if he was 6'5"?
Then it's on. When it's on. That's my rule. 6'5 or above.
Okay.
It's on. 6'5 or below, it's going to be all about words.
But when you try to use that to your advantage, like that's the key sometimes that, you know, I always wondered, and I always thought maybe you got too into the conversation with Spike Lee and that could take you away from your game. Whereas Luka, it felt like, was acknowledging the crowd a little too much. Like, stay in your game, stay in the moment. How hard is that to do?
At times it could be difficult. Look, and I'm going to be honest here as well. Sometimes you have to manufacture your own type of, I don't know.
Well, Jordan did this. Jordan would make up feuds with guys that didn't even know he had a feud against him.
Sometimes you got to you got to manufacture it. You know, you got to manufacture bad blood. And I think at times that's what Luka, we see him doing. All the talking to the fans, I personally like it. You know, it keeps you engaged. And, you know, and then sometimes it spills over to your opponent because we saw him and Devin Booker kind of going at it a little bit. You've got to build that up in a series because you're going to be seeing each other for the next 10 to 12 days. So I've got to build up bad blood. Right now, there's no bad blood between the Warriors and the Mavs. But I guarantee you after game one, something will be manufactured. Draymond Green will say something. Luka will say something. Jalen Brunson's going to get into it. It's going to be a fun series to watch how they manufacture the hate towards one another.
Lakers still haven't named a head coach, and I'm curious why not.
Maybe they're trying to exhaust their search. I felt that they were waiting for current coaches that were still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
To take a look at.
Is that a desirable job, Reg?
It, at the end of the day, it is the Laker brand. They do, them along with the Celtics, have the most championships. Desirable, I don't know. A lot of pressure comes with that, and it depends on who you're going to be answering to. Are you going to be able to coach the way you want, or are you going to be hearing from Jeannie Buss, Kurt Rambis, Rob Pelinka? Are you going to be hearing from all these people, or are you going to be able to execute your game plan on a nightly basis the way you want? And now Phil Jackson's in the mix in terms of voices, right? And how much pressure is that, especially if you're one of these young coaches that they've been interviewing and potentially could get the hire? You know, you've got Phil Jackson, one of the greatest of all time. Now he's chiming in. So it's very difficult.
Look at the roster, Reg. We haven't even
You still got LeBron James and you still got Anthony Davis. But other than that, you've got a lot of work to do.
And you're going to have to make Russell Westbrook work. They're not going to trade him. You're going to have to make him work somehow. And you can't change him.
Yeah, but there's ways where you can tweak him, hopefully, to make him more successful. And on the flip side, Russell has to look himself in the mirror, too, and say, I'm not the 23-year-old Russell Westbrook from OKC, right?
But, Reg, some of those shots are, like, you don't even see that in a youth league game. He's hitting the side of the backboard. Come on.
Sometimes you've got to look yourself in the mirror, Dan. He's got to look himself in the mirror.
And say what when he looks at himself in the mirror?
I'm not as good as I used to be, but but I'm also not as bad as Theodore and the Danettes and Reggie Miller are saying I am as well.
I would never let him take a jumper from 18 feet out, 15 feet out. Like, he can shoot free throws, and he's a good free throw shooter. But I just have to say to him, you have a no-fly zone in here. Everything is going to be going to the hoop there.
Well, here's the problem. That's not the type of player that can play with LeBron James. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they need space, floor spacers. That's not Russell Westbrook.
Oh, my God.
And that's what the new coach is probably saying right now. Oh, my God.
I know. Is Steve Kerr underrated or overrated?
As a head coach?
Yeah.
Well, I certainly wouldn't say he's overrated for a guy who's won.
Well, he stepped into a great situation here.
Well, so did Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay. In both places, in Chicago.
Well, no,
and
but he didn't. He stepped into that, but then they got Scotty and they added some pieces there. And Doug Collins didn't make them a winner, and he had Mike. So, Phil, I'll give him credit in Chicago. In L.A., that felt like, hey, I'm going to show up on third base. Let me tell you about the triple I hit.
I would say Steve Kerr, as great as Mark Jackson is and was for the Warriors, Steve Kerr just added a little bit more spice to the Warriors. I don't think he gets enough credit.
Okay.
I don't think he gets enough credit.
All right.
That's as fun. Well as Mark Jackson. I think people tend to forget that Mark Jackson laid the foundation, and it gets lost in the mix for what he did for the Warriors and with the Warriors.
Yeah, because Mark made it. They were a defensive team, like Mark stressed defense. It felt like Kerr came in and said, let's open this up. Steph, you're going to be taking those shots. I'm fine with that. I mean, it took him a little while before he went, I don't know if I want you shooting out that far. And then all of a sudden he's like, you keep shooting out that far.
Yeah, go ahead. You can shoot from out there. Yeah.
Clay, go on ahead, you know?
No, Kerr added the offensive identity, and they kept Mark Jackson's defensive identity as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He just added to it. He added to it.
All right. He's Reggie Miller. He'll be on the call tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on TNT. Game one, a Western Conference Finals, Mavs and the Warriors. Reg, looking great, and we'll be watching tomorrow night.
Theodore, you're the best, Dennis. Love y'all.
That's Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller. When we win a sports Emmy, Reggie gets a sports Emmy. Yeah, Paul.
Does he get the ride on the Dallas Mavericks float if they somehow win the title? Did he inspire Luka to work out more?
Mm.
That's fair point.
Mm, yeah. Reg kind of poked him a little bit there.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The utterly inspired all-electric EQE sedan from Mercedes-Benz. With hundreds of customizable comfort settings inside the cabin, it's the EV that recharges you. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE.